How do people feel about getting Big Fitness Energy at Planet Fitness for $15 a month? They feel as thrilled as a kid the first summer they're tall enough to ride the roller coaster. That's right. When you join Planet Fitness right now, you get access to tons of equipment and free fitness training in a clean and spacious club. Don't wait. Join the judgment-free zone today for that all-day energy. Download the free Planet Fitness app and join today for $15 a month.
Hurry. Deal ends September 12th. Join today for $15 a month.
See Home Club for details.
3, 2, 1, 0. All engine running. Liftoff. We have a liftoff.
Greetings, conversationalists. Welcome. It is Eric Erickson here across the fruited plain, and I am delighted to have you with me. The phone number, if you want to be on the program, 877-973-7425. As always, text Eric, E-R-I-C-K, to 33777, and you, my friends, can be on the program. I am glad to have you with me. Genuinely glad. And we got to talk about the big story of the day. It is the one causing lots of outrage. Oh, the outrage. The FBI could have shot and killed Donald Trump. Those were the orders issued to the FBI in its search of Mar-a-Lago. I have the actual document before me. The use of deadly force. Law enforcement officers of the Department of Justice may use deadly force only when necessary. That is, when the officer has a reasonable belief that the subject of such force poses an imminent danger of death or serious physical injury to the officer or to another person. Deadly force may not be used solely to prevent the escape of a fleeing suspect. Huh? Firearms may not be fired solely to disable moving vehicles. Specifically, firearms may not be discharged at moving vehicles unless a person in the vehicle is threatening the officer or another person with deadly force by means other than the vehicle, or the vehicle is operated in a manner that threatens to cause death or serious physical injury to an officer or others, and no other objectively reasonable means of defense appear to exist, which includes moving out of the path of the vehicle. If foreseeable, and if to do so would not increase the danger to the officer or others, a verbal warning to submit to the authorities of the officer shall be given prior to the use of deadly force. Huh? Warning shots are not permitted outside of the prison context. They weren't at a prison. Officers will be trained in alternative methods and tactics for handling resisting subjects, which must be used when the use of deadly force is not authorized by this policy. Y'all, I realize that many people have been whipped into furious outrage over this revelation that there was a use of deadly force authorization of the search warrant of Mar-a-Lago. Marjorie Taylor Greene on Twitter suggests they could have assassinated Donald Trump. I understand some of you want to be outraged about everything these days. This isn't something to be outraged about because this is the pro forma language that every search warrant receives from the Department of Justice and the FBI. It's why they include the language, warning shots are not permitted outside of the prison context. Why include that language when you're searching Mar-a-Lago? Because they just copied and pasted the pro forma policy statement, use of deadly force. That's what they did. Issued in July 19th of 2022, that's their updated policy statement, use of deadly force. This isn't something to be outraged about. What is to be noted is the idiocy of Merrick Garland and the Department of Justice, knowing the outrage would come, and they didn't think maybe we should not put the standard pro forma arrangement in. So when the FBI searches a property, a private residence, they are authorized to use deadly force if someone attempts to attack the officers, and it's put into the warrants and the paperwork. It happens in every warrant that the FBI uses to search private property. And they put in just the pro forma statement, which is, I mean, they literally copy and paste, which is why the prison context language is in here. This isn't something unusual. This is something routine. The problem here is not that they did this. And keep in mind, for those of you who are just desperate to be outraged about this, like Marjorie Taylor Greene, do please remember the facts, not your truth, but the actual truth. The FBI coordinated with the Secret Service to search the property when Donald Trump was not present. So no, there was no even opportunity for the FBI to attempt to fire shots at Donald Trump. They would not have been authorized to anyway unless they were in reasonable belief that they were in imminent danger of death, according to the language. I don't think the near 80-year-old charging them was something they would think was imminently putting them in danger of death. But nonetheless, they coordinated with the Secret Service to make sure Donald Trump wasn't even going to be around when they searched. They coordinated with the Secret Service. This is not in dispute. This is in the documentary filings. This is in the statements made at the time. This is in the news reports at the time with quotes from the Trump team. What this signals, however, is the idiocy of the Department of Justice. We're a nation run by morons, including Merrick Garland. They should have known that if this was made public, the Trump campaign would play it up. They should have known. This was a very unique situation, a very unique historic situation. Never before has a former president of the United States had his home raided by the federal agents under the control of the current president of the United States. They did not have to make it pro forma. They did not have to cut and paste. The fact that they did just shows how unthoughtful these people are. If you want to be outraged, don't be outraged by the fact there was a use of force provision included, because it's included in every search of private residence by the FBI. Be outraged by the fact that the Department of Justice is so unthinking and so devoid of reasonable people that they could not foresee that this sort of outrage was going to happen. It's just dumb that it got put in there. Yes, I realize for all the people wanting to defend the FBI and wanting to defend the Department of Justice, you're absolutely right. They put it in every single one. And so the unthoughtful automatons could copy and paste as they always do. The problem, however, is that this was a historic moment. And they didn't think about the political ramifications. And frankly, they should. And I realize there will be progressives who say, well, they shouldn't think about the political ramifications because it's the Department of Justice and this is about justice and who cares about the politics? Merrick Garland is a political appointee in a political operation run by the politically elected president of the United States. They got to care about the politics, whether they want to or not. You can hold your head up high and say, I eschew the politics of the age. This is about justice. And even Lady Liberty is pulling up her blindfolds like, damn, that was idiot. See, that was an idiot thing to do. Even Lady Justice is like shocked that they were dumb enough to do that. There was never a danger to President Trump's life. There's never a danger to anyone's life at Mar-a-Lago. They were going in there catching classified documents. And by the way, side note, while everybody's out there being outraged by the outrage about the outrageousness of the outrage of the pro forma cut and paste, everybody gets its statement. Turns out if you actually read the filings where all the outrage about the outrage over the outrageous nonsense of nothingness distracts from the fact that after the FBI left, they found more classified documents. The lawyers did. So the bungling FBI agents who pro forma copied and pasted a deadly force statement without thinking of the ramifications, it was made public, went to Mar-a-Lago, found a bunch of classified documents, and didn't even bother to find them all. It was Trump's lawyers found more and handed them over. And the Trump team gets to say, look, this was all benign. We found some that the FBI didn't even find and we handed them over. We didn't try to keep them. The FBI didn't even do its job well. There's y'all. Just the stupidity of all of it. It's just all so stupid. the outrage by the outrage artists that, oh my God, they were going to shoot the president of the United States. Oh, they authorized force to murder Donald Trump. Never mind, they coordinated with Secret Service to make sure he wasn't on the property at the time. No, 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 no. Let's be outraged for the sake of being outraged, because outrage is a choice, and we wish to choose to be outraged by something. The real outrage is that your taxpayer dollars went to a raid on Mar-a-Lago, and the FBI didn't even do a good job. I mean, okay, we got this entire trial. We got this whole thing down in the Southern District of Florida. Poor old Judge Cannon. The FBI sweeps through and says, we found all of these documents. We found hundreds of classified documents. We got all these documents. The grand jury requested them. Donald Trump said he didn't have them. We went in. We found war plans for Iran. And then Trump's lawyer's like, you idiots. 4 months after you left, we were still finding classified documents. Nobody got them. You didn't get them. They were in Donald Trump's bedroom, a place you searched and didn't get classified documents. Geniuses, all of you. Well done. Everybody involved in the story is somewhat contemptible. Morons, all of them. Merrick Garland really should be fired. The man is clearly out of his league. Mitch McConnell did the country a solid by keeping the man off the United States Supreme Court. It really is remarkable. Here we are with the FBI's. I laugh when I saw this, because I had seen several people who are familiar with the FBI say, wait, I looked at the document. The document's so pro forma, they even left in the statements about prison. And I was like, that can't be. Surely they took the time to be more nuanced. No, no. Warning shots are not permitted outside of the prison context. Officers must prevent or stop as appropriate another officer from engaging in excessive or unlawful force or force that violates DOJ policy. Officers should seek to gain voluntary compliance before using force if feasible, and doing so would not increase the danger to the officers or others. And I personally, my personal favorite one beyond the prison one is the vehicles one. A person, you're not allowed to shoot at a moving vehicle. You're not allowed to shoot at a moving vehicle unless it's charging you. And even then, you're not allowed to shoot at the moving vehicle if you can jump out of the way. Can you imagine Donald Trump gets in the limo, gets behind the wheel of the car and floors it at the FBI agent. And the FBI agent, bound by this policy, is like, oh, look, I got 5 feet. I can jump out of the way. I can't shoot the former president. But he's not even there because they coordinated with the Secret Service for him not to be there. The fact that I've got to start the show today to calm people down who are just at this point, everyone on both sides are predisposed to be outraged about everything. If you're outraged about everything, you're not really outraged about anything. It's your just default to have your blood pressure go up. Also, why can't they fire a warning shot outside prison contact? That's my question. I mean, why not fire the warning shot? I realize the bullet's going to go up and it's going to come down somewhere. And so you're okay if it comes down in a prisoner, so you could do that. But otherwise, Merrick Garland should be fired. The man's an idiot. He needlessly caused provocation. You got all the Trump fans whipped up into a frenzy that this was somehow going to be a violent attempt to assassinate Donald Trump, which isn't true. All they had to do was leave the statement out. You're going to Mar-a-Lago. You've already coordinated with the Secret Service. If it's that big of a deal, it's that historic, you had to get all the I's dotted and all the T's crossed, you could have said, maybe we shouldn't put in our pro forma copy and paste statement on deadly force, because if it ever gets public, we know that the man who politicizes everything against us could politicize it against us, and maybe it's not smart to do, and yet they did it anyway. The story here is not that they had permission to kill Donald Trump. The story here is that the Department of Justice is run by a bunch of morons, and they're still in charge.
When the world seems crazy, he'll keep you sane. It's the Eric Erickson Show. Join Eric's army of activists. Text ARMY to 33777 now.
Hello there. Welcome. It is Eric Erickson here. The phone number 877-973-7425. For everyone outraged over the FBI, just allow me to read you a news excerpt from the time that the raid happened, confirmed by FBI sources and by those close to the Secret Service and Trump campaign. FBI agents found ways to make the search less confrontational than it otherwise could have been. The search would take place when Trump was in New York and not in Palm Beach. The Secret Service would receive a heads up a few hours before FBI agents arrived to avoid any law enforcement conflict, and agents would wear white polo shirts and khakis to cut a lower profile than if they wore their traditional blue jackets with FBI insignia. On August 8th, FBI agents scoured Trump's residence, office, and storage areas and left with more than 100 classified documents, 18 of them top secret. No, Donald Trump was not present. It was coordinated in advance with the Secret Service. The hysteria that they could have shot and killed Donald Trump is partisan rhetoric designed to keep you outraged. And here's my issue with this. There's so much today for you to be outraged about. When you get outraged about everything needlessly, it's hard to work up rage when things actually matter. This is a nothing burger, and the partisan talking heads who are taking a pro forma document from the FBI claiming they could have killed Donald Trump, it's simply not true. They even made sure he would not be present at the property before they went in their search. They coordinated with the Secret Service. That's the actual facts. That's the actual truth of the matter. You don't get your truth on this. You don't get your facts on this. You get the facts. And the fact is they coordinated ahead of time and made sure Donald Trump wasn't going to be there. So there was never a chance he would be on the property, never a chance he could be shot. And for those of you who say he could, you are lying, and I would urge you to repent. Because a lot of you call yourselves Christians. So stop lying. Okay, we got to move on to other stuff. My goodness. The story we should be talking about actually happened in the state of Georgia last night, and had it gone differently, this would be the news story everyone would be talking about. But it didn't go the way that it was expected to go, despite massive fundraising efforts to change the dynamics. The abortion rights movement in America had a very bad night in Georgia last night, which suggests problems for them come November in Georgia if they try to use abortion as their rule of thumb for generating a suburban vote. And notice you haven't heard anything about it from the National Press Corps because it went so badly for the abortion rights movement last night. We'll talk about it when we come back. First, I got to tell you, the Americans for Prosperity Foundation has taken hundreds of concerned citizens to see the border for themselves. They've been able to see the border crossings. They've been able to see the flow of humanity across the border. They've been able to see the shelters set in place. They've been able to see the strains on social services. Americans for Prosperity took people down there because they wanted them to see it firsthand and then also understand there are real practical solutions to solving the situation at the border, from agents to walls to technology. And they're trying to educate the American public about there are real paths forward to deal with the issue. So they've set up a site where you can learn more, secureborder, secureamerica.com. That's secureborder, secureamerica.com. It's a new initiative from Americans for Prosperity to educate Americans about what's actually happening at the border outside of the partisan spin, to show Americans in real time what's happening, and to show them there are real and practical solutions to deploy to solve the problem. You can go to secureborder, secureamerica.com to find out more. That's secureborder, secureamerica.com. This is a project of Americans for Prosperity and the American for Prosperity Foundation to educate America about the border situation and the solutions to the problem.
Smart, fearless, and occasionally funny. You're listening to The Eric Erickson Show.
You know, one of the other problems here, and I want to move on to other stuff, but a number of people, conspiracy theorists, last night circulated a claim of a purported news report that Ron DeSantis and Merrick Garland texted about the raid on Mar-a-Lago, and it is absolutely not true. In fact, the story originated with a guy on some fake news site who also writes about a fake planet. People have lost their damn minds. All right, we need to talk about the more important stuff. I have to preface this because there will be some people who say, there he is, he's out of Georgia. I am about to talk about the state of Georgia. I just spent the first half hour talking about the state of Florida. Yes, I live in Georgia. Yes, I'm a little biased about the state, but this is actually a really big national news story that implicates every single one of you. And that had it gone the other way, you would be hearing about it as the main story in the nightly news. You would have woken up to Good Morning America and CBS This Morning and the Today Show covering it. It would have been all over Morning Joe. It would have been all over CNN. But it didn't go the left's way, and so you're not hearing about the story. I've been telling you about John Barrow, or as he would say, John Barrow. I'm John Barrow, and I'm a populist Democrat, and I am whatever you need me to be, because I do declare I am a fungible candidate who will vote the way you will. As long as you get me back into power, I miss my ring. I am John Barrow. Vote for me. John Barrow ran for the Georgia Supreme Court. John Barrow had been a congressman in the Augusta, Georgia area for some time. He was a dyed-in-the-wool progressive who, ironically, in 2005, voted to ban late-term abortions or some such. He evolved on the issue. He is now highly progressive. John Barrow is a pro-abortion activist. He is for illegal immigrants. He is bad on crime issues. He ran repeatedly for various offices after losing his congressional seat. He ran statewide as Secretary of State against Brad Raffensperger in Georgia, and he lost. He did badly. But he was a progressive. And John Barrow ran for the Georgia Supreme Court, and he went down in flames last night. Had he won, it would be a national news story, and here's why. John Barrow made his entire campaign about abortion. I don't care what state you're in. You may be in North Carolina right now listening. You may be in California. You may be in Arizona, Florida, wherever you are. If your judges run for office, there's a uniform code of judicial ethics that every state has largely adopted with some nuances, but they all have the same thing. Judges who run for election, regardless of whether they're in nonpartisan or partisan elections, are not allowed to pronounce their position on an issue. It's not a matter of free speech. The Supreme Court has upheld this issue that judges, for the sake of good and sound public policy, are not allowed to campaign and say, if I see this case, I'm voting this way. But John Barrow decided that he was going to run for the Georgia Supreme Court as an abortion rights activist. He was running as NARAL's candidate, as Planned Parenthood's prince. And abortion rights activists from around the country began writing checks. He was very explicit. He was going to run for the Georgia Supreme Court. And if any abortion challenge came, he would be on the side of abortion rights. He made sure everybody knew. In fact, he was so aggressive in his campaigning for death that the Judicial Qualifications Commission for the state of Georgia sent him a confidential letter saying, Candidate Barrow, you are disqualifying yourself by taking out a position clearly on a matter that could come before the Supreme Court. It was a confidential letter. Nobody knew they sent it to John Barrow, but he himself decided to publicize it. He made it public. He made himself sound like the victim, and he filed a federal lawsuit against the Judicial Qualifications Commission, claiming they were infringing his First Amendment rights to tell people what he thought on the issue of abortion. A federal judge threw the case out because, among other things, John Barra decided that he was going to expose the confidential letter. The Judicial Qualifications Commission did not. And also the JQC had not acted. They haven't done anything to him. So the judge said, there's no standing here. There's no case here. He himself outed this. But John Barra decided to out the letter and to make a big deal about it because he wanted everyone to know where he stood on abortion. He seized the opportunity to reamplify the fact that he was the abortion candidate. And by the way, it worked nationally. Nationally, John Barrow's campaign for the Georgia Supreme Court became a cause célèbre for left-wing activists around the country. Not only that, he was running against a guy with no campaign apparatus. His opponent is a guy named Andrew Pinson. Andrew Pinson is a fresh appointee to the Georgia Supreme Court. He never ran for it. He was appointed by Governor Brian Kemp. He did not have a strong campaign. He did not have a lot of money. He was not an aggressive fundraiser. John Barrow raised more money than him, spent more money than him, and had higher name ID than him statewide because he's run repeatedly for Congress, for Secretary of State, for other things. And John Barrow got crushed last night. Curb stomped by Andrew Pinson. Again, this is important. If John Barrow won last night, or I'm sorry, John Barra, that's how he says it, had he won last night, it would be a main story on CNN today. Yet again, in the conservative South, abortion rights activists scored a big victory. They've slowly begun to find a path to take Supreme Court to the South. They've begun by advancing John Barra to the Georgia Supreme Court on an explicit campaign of preserving and expanding abortion rights. It'd be all the talk from Mika Brzezinski this morning. On CNN, they would cover it. It'd be on Gayle King would talk about it on CBS. The Today Show, Good Morning America, they'd all be covering this victory in Georgia because it was an advance for an abortion rights activist to the Georgia Supreme Court in the South in a state that passed a six-week fetal heartbeat ban. Funded by progressive activists around the country, endorsed by pro-abortion activists and groups around the country who poured money in to try to help. But he lost. What are the biases in the media? There are lots of biases in the media. But one of the biases in the media is the stories they don't tell. The details they don't give you. And this is the one that I have noticed the most, having been at CNN for a number of years and then at Fox, particularly pervasive when I was at CNN, the stories they didn't want to talk about. When I was at CNN, they would oftentimes ask me if I had ideas on stories, and I would give them stories, and I don't think in my 3 years at that network they ever covered anything that I was talking about. But constantly I was forced to go on the network and cover stories that originated on left-wing sites, Talking Points Memo, Daily Coast, things like that. They never wanted to cover the conservative story. The bias is not so much what they tell you, but what they don't tell you. The facts they leave out of the stories they report or the stories they choose not to report. This is one of those stories. Now, let's extrapolate this out. John Barra lost Clayton County. Clayton County is predominantly African-American. It's very Democrat. Running on the abortion issue, he should have won that county, and he did not. Side story here is that Governor Brian Kemp put his campaign operation into play to help Andrew Pinson, who did not really have a campaign, a grassroots operation, or county-by-county structure. And Brian Kemp is still able to mobilize votes in the state of Georgia, which also bodes poorly for John Ossoff, I think, in 2026, if Brian Kemp runs for the Senate, as is expected to be. It also bodes well for Donald Trump in Georgia, though Kemp and Trump don't care for each other. Kemp has said he would do what he can to get out the Republican votes in Georgia for Trump in 2024. So you've got a campaign in Georgia, and the left will say, well, it was low turnout. That's the problem. It was low turnout. But you had an opportunity in low turnout on the issue that everyone has told us for 2 to 3 years now galvanizes Democrats more than any other. You had the opportunity to have a low turnout election that you won because your voters were mobilized on the issue of abortion, and they didn't turn out. Also, suburban voters in Georgia were far more interested in the crime issue. And John Barra is not just an abortion rights guy. He's a soft on crime guy. There's a side story out there in Oregon. The district attorney in Portland, Oregon, lost his election last night. The district attorney in Portland, Oregon, is a highly, highly progressive DA. His name is Mike Schmidt. Mike Schmidt is the hipster DA in Portland, Oregon, who genuinely embraces the idea of keep Portland weird. Businesses in Portland, Oregon have had to hire security guards because the local DA essentially said that if police arrest people coming into these local businesses to shoplift, that he's not going to prosecute them. He's a hyper, hyper progressive district attorney. And he ran against a man who, in the words of Jonathan Martin at Politico, was in the GOP until after Donald Trump became president and then became a Democrat. The man's name is Nathan Vasquez, longtime prosecutor in the county office and affiliated voter who's challenging his boss because he believes Portland, Oregon needed to be tough on crime, and he won. He won the election last night. The tough on crime guy. You're not hearing about that story either, are you? In Portland, Oregon, they rejected a progressive Soros-funded DA in favor of a tough-on-crime local prosecutor who believes that Portland, Oregon has gotten too soft on crime. You know, in Oregon, they went gangbusters on drug legalization and softening penalties on drugs, and they've undone that now. And now they're cracking down on drug users in public again. They're cracking down on enforcing rules on drugs again. Why? Because they went so hard left, and it ruined their communities and made people feel unsafe, and there's been a reaction to it. And notice again the story's not being told. You're not hearing that abortion rights activists lost in Georgia last night, and you're not hearing that a Soros-funded progressive DA in Portland, Oregon lost last night. You're not hearing those on national news stories. Had it been the other way, you absolutely would have heard. The bias is in what they don't tell you. But that's what you have me for. Now, we got lots of other stuff to talk about, including Joe Biden shaking down Americans, trying to bribe them for his election by fuel reserves. He's jeopardizing our national security. But first, I got to tell you about Old Glory, my bank. So I'm going out of town next week and taking the family on a trip. And I know I'm going to have some cash that I'm going to have to deal with next week that I'll need to deposit in a bank. And I'm going to use Old Glory. Why? Because where I am, there are 88,000 retail locations around the country, including where we're headed, where I'll be able to take cash. And with a QR code on the Old Glory app on my phone, deposit, take it to the retail location, hand it to the cashier. They'll scan the QR code and it'll get deposited into my account. It's magic. It's Old Glory Bank. They're hyper-innovative conservatives for conservatives, and they do loans. They do bank accounts. I've got a checking account and a savings account. They've never charged me a fee, and they won't charge you a fee either. It's Old Glory Bank. OldGloryBank.com is where you go, OldGloryBank.com. If in 8 minutes or less, you can get your account set up. It did not take me 8 minutes. You can get them for your kids as well. You get a custodial account for your kids and start their savings account early without fees. They're not going to be drained. Just put a little money in and watch it grow over time. Old Glory Bank, OldGloryBank.com, member FDIC, equal housing lender. Terms and conditions apply.
Want to be on the show?
Hello?
I love your show.
Call Eric now at 877-973-7425. You can be live on Eric's show by calling 877-97-ERIC. That's 877-973-7425.
Welcome. It is Eric Erickson here. The phone number, 877-973-7425. I have breaking news. Breaking news. FBI agents have invaded the office of the Hinds County District Attorney in Jackson, Mississippi, one of George Soros's prosecutors that he backed. The FBI is going in. I wonder if they have a use of force authorization. Speaking of, I have other news. Do you know where the FBI also had use of force authorization? It wasn't just Mar-a-Lago. It turns out the FBI did not just have a use of force authorization at Mar-a-Lago. They also had one at Joe Biden's residence. Yes, good for the goose, good for the gander, I guess. Bipartisan assassinations by the FBI, I guess. No, that's why this story is so dumb. A pro forma outrage over a pro forma form. The use of force authorization was also in the Joe Biden search of his home and garage. Stop being outraged for the sake of being outraged, people. There's plenty of stuff to really be outraged about. And maybe focus on that. When you scream about everything, people don't take you seriously on the substantive stuff. This hour of the program is brought to you by First Liberty Building and Loan. Listen, they can do equipment loans for you. So let's say you need a big generator or a truck for your business. If you've got a 700 credit score, they told me, they can probably get this done for you without anything down, and they can get it done quick. 700 credit score or higher, they can process and help you with your equipment loan. Also, if you're buying a building or building a building or buying a franchise, they can do big loans. They make their own lending decisions. FirstLibertyGA.com. FirstLibertyGA.com. Now, I got to move on to other stuff, but I got to first tell you about the Gullah Geechee. There is a bit of land, peninsula, called Harris Neck. It sticks out into the Atlantic in McIntosh County, Georgia. And back during World War II, the federal government seized this 2,824-acre peninsula to build an auxiliary air base and promised the families they were evicting that they would give it back to them. The families weren't even allowed by the federal government to hire outside land appraisers. And the feds promised they would give it back. Well, guess what? Joe Biden's U.S. Fish and Wildlife Service has refused now to give the family back to the land, back there, give the land back to the families. And in fact, have decided they're going to pass it off to a land developer. You got 69 documented descendant families, and Joe Biden, who talks a great game on racial reconciliation in this country and systemic racism in this country, Joe Biden's administration has decided to screw those families and hand it off to someone else, despite federal government promises to give those families back the land. The families are headed to Washington, D.C. to raise awareness, and they should. They should. The Gullah Geechee community had this land taken from them. They were given what the federal government wanted to give them. They were not allowed their own outside appraisers. They were barred access from the land. Eminent domain was used with a very explicit open promise to return the land to the families after the war was over. The federal government has never kept its promise. Joe Biden has promised repeatedly to right wrongs and make black families whole. Here are a group of black families who can document their ownership claim to the land, and Joe Biden's government has decided, nope, we're not giving you back the land we promised to give you. Clearly, it's the systemic racism, and they will say, see, it's just proof we're systemically racist. We have no reason to give you the land. When we come back, one of the things Joe Biden wants to do is bribe Americans. He's releasing gas reserves to do it, jeopardizing our national security.
How do people feel about getting Big Fitness Energy at Planet Fitness for $15 a month?
They feel as thrilled as a kid the first summer they're tall enough to ride the roller coaster.
That's right. When you join Planet Fitness right now, you get access to tons of equipment and free fitness training in a clean and spacious club.
Don't wait. Join the judgment-free zone today for that all-day energy. Download the free Planet Fitness app and join today for $15 a month.
Hurry. Deal ends September 12th. Join today for $15 a month.
See Home Club for details.